Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, British Lady, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. It is 2222, February 2nd, 2022. Go ahead and let that run around your brain for 30 seconds, then we'll get back to the show. Hope everybody out there is doing well. Everything's going all right down here in miserable Jacksonville, North Carolina. Getting things started on Pop Culture Stars this evening. So, without further ado, go get right on down to business. Name off and introduce the esteemed panel we have this evening. Starting off with our favorite heel from the fine state of Arkansas.
No heel. I'm not a heel, guys. Yes, hello. I'm not a heel. I'm as baby faced as they come, okay?
Ain't even a minute into the show already throwing gas on the fire. Look at me. I ought to be ashamed of myself.
Yes, you should. Yes, you should. But you know what? You know what I tell everybody, Dave? If you're picking on me, you're leaving somebody else alone.
That's a good point. And chances are we're leaving that person alone because we don't want to talk to them in the first place. So, by God.
Probably.
It is. But it's great to have you aboard, Granny Hulkster. I hope you're doing well and everything's going good on your side of the planet.
Well, a little weather report from the wonderful state of Arkansas. It's sleeting. It's freezing rain. The snow is supposed to be here by about 10 or 11 o'clock tonight, maybe midnight. And they're talking, we're under like a winter storm warning until possibly Friday sometime. They're possibly saying 4 to 8 inches where I'm at in the northwest part of Arkansas, the part of Benton County and up into Missouri, they could be talking 10 to 14 inches of snow. So go figure, you know. I'm staying in where it's warm.
No kidding. Yeah, that sucks. We had snow, what was it, Sunday morning here. Let the dogs out, and it was snowing like crazy outside. And I says, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and let the dogs out. Then I'm going to go lay back down for about an hour. Then I'll get up, get the dogs, let them go out there and play in the snow. So did just that. Walked outdoors an hour later, and there wasn't a lick of snow on the ground. The whole damn thing had disappeared. So that's how impactful snow was here. Of course, you couldn't tell anybody in eastern North Carolina that because they had already bought 72 gallons of milk and 400 loaves of bread and everything else for, you know, 20 minutes worth of snow. But nevertheless, I hope you stay warm and you're able to stay safe. And I hope your husband David's staying safe, though he's working his entire ass off right now.
He worked another 12-hour shift today, and he has another 12-hour shift tomorrow.
God knows. And, you know, the funny thing is when you work those 12-hour shifts like that, it's like people think you exaggerate when you say you go home, shower, go to bed, wake up, shower, come back to work. It becomes a blur. Because I know plenty of times in the grocery business where I'd go in and, you know, somebody was like, hey, Dave, you got to get on the conference call. Huh? Call, it's noon. Well, it's Thursday. Yeah, it is Thursday. Thursday? You know, because all you did was just work, go to bed, work, go to bed, go to work. You were at work. You had no idea what day of the week it was. I know there have been times where, like St. Patrick's Day, coming to work, wearing a blue shirt, and everybody's, what in the hell are you wearing blue for? I said, because I got to wear clothes to work or I'm going to get locked up. And they said, it's St. Patrick's Day. You shitting me. I had no idea what day of the week it was. or nothing else,
well,
because everything.
Remember the commercial, Dave, where the guy said time to make the donuts, and he's coming and going, and
yeah.
he's going out, and the same guy's coming in. He says, "I've done made the donuts."
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. You just kind of zombify after a while, you know. So, yeah, give Dave our best, and hopefully he'll be able to get some rest here pretty soon if Mother Nature will knock her cheap garbage off. Let that man get some rest, you know. But, yeah,
well,
it's good to have you aboard.
For the most part, he gets to stay in the shop and work on the trucks. And this week he's actually working in the parts room all day long, because the guy that's working that normally works in the parts room, he's working the overnight shift. So luckily, hubby's actually getting to stay in where it's halfway warm.
That helps. You know, but he's still on his feet and he's still humping it. So I mean, it's it's got to stink. I don't envy him at all. That's why I'm glad my 70-hour days or the 70-hour weeks are behind me now, hopefully for good, because after a while that stuff just gets to a point where even it has a way of any type of happiness away from the workplace. And a lot of times it can't be reestablished, where you just get to a point where just going to work, it makes you physically ill. And
yep, sure.
It does. Because after a while, you sooner or later, you've got to give your mind a rest, whether you realize it or not. And I wish I could go back in time and tell the 25-year-old me that, where it's okay to go home. And, you know, perhaps things would have been a little different for me. But I was one of these work zombies where I'd just stay in there and felt like if I walked away from the workplace, that I was committing a great sin to the company. And, of course, now I've found out that the company doesn't care. But only took me 30-some-odd damn years to figure that out. But, yeah, hopefully everything will go better. The weather will tighten up for you, and that way you can start having a little peace and quiet, or at least face some different kind of mayhem over there at the house, you know. But it's great to have you aboard, Stephen Granny. Looking forward to your
thank you.
This evening. Absolutely. Now I'm going to slide back to the east, to that fine city of Indianapolis, and introduce my good brother, Tim. What's shaking?
I feel like I need to be out in the intersection right now doing the field report, seeing as how we all do our meteorology reports. So it's a little bit worse than what Granny is dealing with. But like Granny, I am enjoying the nice cold weather and snow. Snowmageddon, as I've referred to it, from indoors in my newly built office, or newly renovated, I should say. But, yeah, we're supposed to get, I don't know, it's coming in two waves. We've already gotten most of the first wave, I think. I'm not real sure, but it was raining earlier today, then it turned to sleet, and then finally it's snowing, like right now. It's going to taper off, but this was just round one, which isn't really the worst of it. The worst of it's supposed to start, I think, later on tonight, maybe, you know, early hours in the morning, not sure. But we're still slated to get roughly, I guess the max could be around 15 inches. So we're kind of looking forward to it. I get to work from home, so I don't care. I'm enjoying, actually what I'm doing is not really watching the snow, to be quite honest. This is the kind of person I am. I'm looking out the road to see all the idiots that are out driving around, and I just can't wait. Like, thank God I was on mute, because when Granny was talking earlier, I'm staring out my office window, and I see a knucklehead going a little faster than what he should have, and the light turned red, and I could tell by the angle of his car he started fishtailing. He wasn't in any danger, so I could laugh, but he was at about a I'd say a 45-degree angle from where he wanted to be, just kind of sliding and kept going into the intersection. And he wasn't in any danger. The other car already went through the intersection. But nonetheless, it was funny, and I kind of wanted to just yell out the window, "You dumbass, kind of like what was the guy from that 70s show? You dumbass. That's why I just want to have that on recording. But I don't know. I shouldn't be so ignorant. Maybe those people have somewhere they got to go, and there's no way they can avoid it. But nonetheless, I'm sitting in here laughing because I don't have to be out there. Other than that,
looking forward
to a good show and just enjoying the coziness in here.
Yeah, I mean,
We haven't even got the first wave of this storm yet. It's just now starting to come in. And then wave number two is supposed to happen sometime tomorrow. So,
okay, I don't pay attention to news. I mean, I don't care. Just tell me it's going to snow. Okay, I don't need to see maps. I don't need to see anything. Give me a rough idea. Hey, we're going to get a lot of snow. Oh, okay, thanks. I'll prepare and go to the store. That's all I need. But I'm assuming this pans across a wide area, and I'm assuming the same storm is hitting Granny, just at a different, you know, the way the front's coming in, it's hitting different. Usually it would be, I would think she would get something first, and then it would make its way over. Because at least I know, like, our counterparts over in Kansas City, they're usually like a day ahead of us with storms, with anything. So if we want to know what it's going to be like.
I think they already had a lot of that because up in Missouri, it was hitting up in Missouri already before it kind of started getting into Oklahoma and the northwestern part of Arkansas. But the thing is, we had the rain first, and now we are getting the sleet and the freezing rain, and then eventually the snow's coming in, you know, from Oklahoma. So
that's exactly what happened to us, except all that was today. So we had, you know, and I was working from home again today too. So we had rain, and what was funny is it started off yesterday. It was, I think we hit 50, 51, which is really weird.
We hit 60 yesterday here, and then today it's doing this.
Wow. Yeah. So, but we were, it was raining today. It was still kind of warmer out, but it was just got colder and colder. And then finally, I was already off work. I made one last stop, a futile effort to try to get our snowblower that we inherited from somebody about 6 or 7 years ago. And this thing's junk. It's not going back in my garage. It's going in the trash. But nonetheless, I made one last trip out before it started getting nasty. And right on my way back, I was about a quarter of a mile away from the house, and I started seeing sleet on the windshield, and I went, that's it. When I pull in the garage, I'm done. And here I will sit until this is all cleared up. So, yeah, we're I think, still hanging on to the end of the first wave, which is snow. I don't know how much snow accumulation for this one. Again, I don't care. I just, you know, it's going to snow. It's all I need to know. And then we're going to get hammered either overnight or sometime tomorrow morning.
The way to do it. I mean, these people that panic, they need to be flogged. I mean, it's I had said it. I popped off on this one lady because she was in there, and this lady is always obnoxious every time she's in there. She's a real estate lady, and not to say that real estate people are all like that, but a vast majority of them are. My apologies. But she comes in, and she had bought, like, all this bread. I mean, had a ton of bread in her cart, and she was over there dropping bananas in the cart. So this was week before last when she was doing that. And, of course, you know, I just kind of look at it and shake my head. I'm like, all right. So, anyhow, week later, we get another snow scare. And homegirl is over there carrying on how we don't have any bread. And what's neat about having your house paid off and your kids graduated and your cars paid off and owning your own business and working part-time to support your whiskey and cigar habit is the fact that you really don't have to kiss anybody's ass anymore. You don't even really have to be nice. You can just be yourself. So she was carrying on, and, of course, I looked over at her. I says, did you eat all the bread you bought 7 days ago? And son, she shot a look at me that could have melted right through lead, and I was like kind of shrugged. And so, of course, my partner in crime, he's over there snickering, and I says, you know, all sarcasm aside, take, for instance, like toilet paper. So the big question is, how many times do you poop a day? So if the answer is two, all right, then the next question is, how many times do you wipe? And, of course, normally the answer is either one of two things. You only wipe twice and suffer the consequences, or you wipe yourself raw until you know you're clean. I'm more of that end of things than anything. So, you know, to give a general number of wipes, kind of hard to determine, but nevertheless, just because it snows, it doesn't mean that I am going to have diarrhea. It means that I'm going to have the normal poo rate of any other day, be it sunny and 75 outside. It isn't like, oh, there's a cold front coming through, I'm going to have the shit today. I'm going to poo at the same rate regardless of the weather. So if they're saying you're probably going to be in your house for 2 days, multiply your poo rate times two, or be on the safe side, times three, and make sure you have that type of toiletries stocked up. You know, these people that are buying 32 gallons of milk, it's already proven science. You can't drink but a milk. You can't drink a gallon of milk in an hour or else you'll throw it back up, right? So you're going to be pent in your house for maybe 24 hours at the most, and you got 32 gallons of milk in your cart. Why? Who in the hell are you? You got 14 kids at the house. Hell, go get you a cow.
It makes me wonder if there could be a profession of somebody, because I'm curious, like, who the hell started it? They need to be drug out into the street and shot. Started the whole rumor of telling people, hey, get your ass to the store and get all of the toilet paper you possibly can. You know that crap can't be a coincidence. Why is it that was the one thing? There needs to be like a social media forensics analyst, you know, because I can't help but to blame social media. That's kind of what I blame nowadays for just about any of the problems going on in the world is social media. But you just got to wonder, like, who put that damn message out there? What kind of a sick bastard does that kind of a...
Well, I can tell you guys something. When I was still working in the retail business, you know, we had some really freak snow hit in here in Arkansas. David had to take me to work, and I worked at the store all night long. And you couldn't even hardly drive. I mean, it was horrible. And here comes this Marshallese man and woman. They've got this little baby. I don't know how old the baby was, maybe a little over a year. That little baby didn't even have shoes and socks on its poor little feet. And they come in the store at 3 o'clock in the morning to buy groceries. And I'm like, dude, it's like there's 28 inches of snow on the ground. You can't even drive. What in the heck are you doing out at 3 o'clock in the morning with this baby with no shoes and socks on its feet?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about, you know, the retail business, you know. I mean, boom, we would get slammed with people coming to the store to buy food, whatever, you know. I mean, it never failed.
Yeah, the most I've been out, and I use the term out, when Hurricane Florence came through in 2018, and we were out of power here at the house for 11 days. Okay. Now my folks who live on the other side of the county, oddly enough, it's like 7 miles from here, but it takes 45 minutes to get there sometimes because of traffic. Nevertheless, they got power 3 days in. So, at the time, all we had was Misty. we didn't have Mika and Sadie. So what we did is we turned my mom's sunroom into kind of like a hotel room for me and Misty, and Dale and Rob just stayed at my folks' house. Me, I would spend the night here at the house, making sure nobody tried to come in and do any monkey business. But in the morning, I would get up, go to their house, get a warm shower, get a hot chow, that kind of stuff. I'd take a good shower there, then I'd drive over here and crash. So, but for those 10 days, I did not have an exorbitant amount of stuff here in the house for that hurricane, because it wasn't a bad hurricane. It was a high-grade 1, low-grade 2, if I recall. What happened, what screwed us up, is that Duke Power and Light, Duke Energy, did not send any of their linemen to the coast. They still had all their linemen, in the state, your Raleigh and Charlotte area, right? So when this storm blew through, it flooded everything out, and you couldn't get to the coast. So all these down power lines, if you had Jones Onsel Electric, theirs went right on back up because those guys were here on the spot, whereas the Duke Energy guys were out fanning their balls 4 hours away. So when after everything hit, they finally decided to crank the trucks up and drive this way, they couldn't get to Onslow County because of the flooding. So if you had Duke Energy, didn't matter what the hell was going on, you weren't getting your lights back. But even during that, I was not reduced to, setting things on fire and setting cans of Beanie Weenies on the fire. I mean, so these folks who buy, 10 pounds of bananas, and I'm not exaggerating, they buy all this bread and, say, okay, the bread's going to go bad because bread is a perishable item, believe it or not. It'll go bad. So what are you going to do with all this bread? Well, I'll freeze it. Okay, well, what if you lose power? So you're going to put the bread in the freezer. Yeah. So why'd you buy all the frozen food? Because that's going to fill that freezer up, right? In the meantime, there's a guy out there that just needs one loaf of bread, and he can't get it because there's some asshole with 14 loaves molding up on his countertop because he panic bought. And going back to what you were saying about social media, folks, if y'all are listening, listen to Dave for a minute. Get Mom out of the kitchen. Bring everybody around the phone right now. Listen to what I got to say. Don't ever, ever take a picture of something at a store and post it on social media and say, hey, they've got X, because it creates a riot for that merchant.
Yep.
I don't care if you're talking about a collectible. I don't care if you're talking about milk. The minute you post the picture, hey, I was in this store an hour ago, and they had one pallet of X. The amount of people who deluged that damn building, and it all turns into mayhem. And when I say mayhem, it's not just because it got busy and we had to ring things up faster. It's because people have driven from parts unknown to grab these items because they saw it on social media. And now it's the merchant's fault for still not having it. And it creates such a big issue. So, in the event you're one of these people, now, on the other end of that spectrum, in the event that you see, hey, they've got a palette of X. Instead of taking a picture and posting it to the entire planet, send messages to the people you know. Just do an inconvenient group text real quick and say, hey, guys, pardon the group text, but if any of y'all need X, there's a pallet of it right here at this store. I'm standing next to it.
And, yes, so ladies and gentlemen, he is referring to ecstasy. So keep in mind, if you are looking for ecstasy.
So that way, you don't start some damn five-scale riot with some ignorant-ass post on Facebook. So, yeah, I'll tell you,
in 2009, we had a really bad ice storm hit here in Arkansas. And I was working up in Bentonville at the time, and my son was living in Rogers, and I actually was staying with him so I could get back and forth to work. But we lost power for over a week here in Springdale. I get home to my house, and I mean, this was like right before, this was February of 2009. So David and I weren't even married yet, because we didn't get married until December of 2009. So we weren't even married yet. So he still was living at his house. But here at my house that I have, that we're living in now, when I finally got back to my house, it looked like a war zone. I mean, power lines were down, tree limbs were down. My front yard looked like an obstacle course with all the trees and branches and everything. I had a metal awning that went over like my front porch. I had a tree limb come down through that awning. I had to duck just to get in my front door. I mean, I had to kind of pull in at an angle just to get in my yard off the street. I was pretty much parked on the sidewalk. And, I mean, I had to, like, veer through this obstacle course just to get in my front door. It was horrible.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. The older I get, I remember being a young man. I used to relish in the hurricanes and the snowstorms and all that kind of stuff. Now, at the ripe old age of 51, I just as soon have normal, everyday weather. I'm getting to the point where I don't even dig rain because people just get so goddamn ignorant the way they drive, the way they act. Just a little bit of rain, guys. It's not volcanic ash. It's just rain.
Speaking of drivers, so like I said, I'm staring out the window here, and I just saw moron number fill in the blank here. He rolls up to the stoplight. There's no one around. I'll give him that. You kind of don't know because we are talking a state road. So you could have idiot XYZ coming from the other direction. But anyway, moron number, we'll just call him number five. Maybe he's the fifth idiot I've seen in the last half hour. Moron number five comes up to the light, decides he's waited long enough. So he has his monster truck, you know, his raised wheels, and decides to just go right on through the red light. So going back to moron number, I don't know, three, who came through and couldn't stop and goes at an angle, somebody comes through like that, they're going to see some idiot running a red light, not going to be able to stop, plow right into them. I'm just waiting for it. It's to happen. So, yeah, plenty of idiot drivers. They're everywhere, folks.
Yeah, go ahead and get you remember Nelson on The Simpsons?
Yeah.
That's my go-to. Yeah. I would spray paint myself yellow and put on a red shirt and just stand out there in the front yard and just wait for it to happen.
That's not a bad idea.
Piece of this shit. I tell you. So
I'll have my 10-year-old son stand on the other side of the road and yell at a dumbass.
Yeah. Dork. But despite the nasty weather, man, what a wild and you can't make it up week that we have had here on this planet, man. We have had the playoffs. We don't talk about playoffs. We had the playoffs. We watched Roger Goodell have his nefarious plot sidelined. We watched Tom Brady throw in the towel, which I was surprised.
Don't forget Ben Roethlisberger.
And Roethlisberger. God bless that man for the beating he's ever taken. We've watched Putin try to reestablish the USSR by lining up troops on the Ukraine. I mean, some of the stuff that has gone on this week, you know, to a certain extent, stand there and I go, God, who wants to live in this crazy world these days? And on the other hand, on the other side, I'm going, you know what? At least I'm here and I can say, yeah, shit happened. Because some of this stuff, you just can't make up. I don't care what nobody says. Just some crazy stuff going on, man. So, but just to shed a little light on the playoffs, you know, and Granny, I know you're a huge Kansas City fan, and I'm a closet Kansas City fan because I've been back and forth to Kansas City a couple times and seen the Royals and seen the Chiefs, and I'm a big Lynn Dawson guy. I always thought he was a cool quarterback. Roger Goodell wants Patrick Mahomes to be the marquee player. It's and the reason being is he's throwing. You can tell he's trying to play the middle of the field fence guy on the whole race thing. And who better than to take Mahomes and put him right on up there because he appeals to all races. He isn't deemed as a thug or is he deemed as a privileged white guy, blah, blah, blah. So they try so hard, and it was painfully evident with the officiating this year that they were trying their level best not to call things on Kansas City. It was so bad to the point where they were even calling penalties on the Cowboys against them this year, and they don't ever call shit on the Cowboys. So nevertheless, you know, going into playoffs, Goodell's sitting in his office doing the Montgomery Burns thing with his fingers. The last thing he wants is a Cincinnati-San Francisco Super Bowl. Why? Because you got two small market teams with no poster children on it. So, in the meantime, you've got Los Angeles and you got poster boy in Kansas City. Goodell is sitting there going, okay, talking to the referees. You guys know what you got to do, right? So I can tell you, both squads played their asses off, and it was absolutely amazing game to watch. But, and I can tell you this, you know, something I like about Cincinnati right now is, I don't know if you guys saw the picture, but Burroughs and Chase, their dads were at the game. Both young men's dads were at the game, and they had a picture of the two dads standing side by side, drinking a beer and smoking a cigar at the game. And
wow.
For me, I look at it and I go, that's what it's all about. All this woke stuff you want to put in pro sports now, that's not what it's about. What it's about is what you see right there. You got two dads smoking cigars, enjoying watching their sons be successful on the field, and they can care less what demographic they are. You know what
you
I mean?
Know, I'll jump in and fill in a little bit to kind of run a piggyback off that. I agree with you. I think that a lot of stories that they tend to highlight in the NFL, it's garbage, and it makes a lot of people, not even want to watch it anymore. But I was actually scrolling through, and yes, you can make fun of me for this. I'm a bored person. I don't get into a whole lot, so a lot of times I'll jump on Facebook and I look at what they call reels, these little short videos. I don't know. I think I'm an old person here. I don't know what it is, but I think a lot of them are made through TikTok. But they're just these real short videos that, you know, reoccur. And a lot of them, I'd say about 98% of them are really dumb. But every once in a while you get some funny ones, or you get some just catch you off guard. Well, with that being said, I saw one, and I'm going to tell you now, I don't even remember. Well, I'm sorry. One of them was Odell Beckham Jr. He was back. It was footage from when he was on the Giants, and they had played the 49ers. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't know the validity to what the text was on, or the caption on the screen, but I think it was pretty genuine. I think it was accurate because of what you could see in there. But it was a pregame, and Odell Beckham Jr., somehow by talking to one of his opponents, found out that his opponent's, I think it was a niece, might have been a child, but I was thinking it was a niece, who had cerebral palsy, but was a huge fan of Odell Beckham Jr. And she got to attend the game, and of course, you know, she was right there. It seemed like it was in the back of the end zone. So there was some footage that somebody had taken, you know, from a cell phone, obviously. And Odell and his opponent, who was a member playing for the 49ers, they go up, and Odell starts doing, he goes up and gives her a hug or something, and then goes back and starts doing this dance and just, you know, entertaining her. And that just kind of struck me. And I thought, you know, what made me think of it was when you said that's what it's all about. And to me, I thought that right, what we need to see more of. I absolutely love that, because what you see on the field and what they love to hype up is all the drama and all the fighting and all the stuff that goes back and forth. And, you know, it is. It's out there. And there's a lot of immaturity. You know, we get it. But why not try highlighting some of the cool stories of, you know, the ones that are real people. They're humans. And they don't care what, you know, they have allies regardless of what true team they play for. And I thought that was cool, you know, when I saw that. And I thought, man, they really just – it doesn't seem like they highlight this stuff enough. I mean, yeah, they do, and they'll, you know, usually through the regular season, they'll show, like, someone who's being nominated for whatever award because of the money they donate. Well, whatever. That's what they're doing in front of a camera, you know. This was stuff that was candid. Somebody happened to catch it, and then it made it to social media that I badmouth so much. But – yet that was one of the cool things that I saw. And it wasn't him trying to say, hey, look at me, I can come over here and appeal to somebody who's handicapped to make it look like I'm a bit. He wasn't doing any of that. It was just there was hardly anybody in the stands. It was just them goofing off pregame. And I thought that was cool. And it brought me back in, and I thought, man, there really are people that, you know, are true, awesome heroes that play the game. And that's why I'm still a fan. So I hear you.
Well, there was, I think this happened either a year ago, maybe it might have been close to 2 years now, but there was a lady in Kansas City. Her name was Melba. She was 100 years old. And the gentleman went to her house and brought her a custom-made Kansas City Chiefs jersey with the number 100 on the back, with her name, Melba, on the back of the jersey. Her family took her to the game. They took her down on the field in a wheelchair, and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes gave her the game ball a game ball before the game started that day. And she just recently passed away. I remember seeing the story on social media here a few months ago, and she passed away, but that brightened her day so much to be able to get to do that.
Was she Todd's daughter?
Say what?
I said, well, I'm taking a stab at Todd. He's not here. What else can I do? You know?
She wasn't any relation to anybody in the Chiefs, you know, organization. I mean, she was just a fan.
Right. No, I'm
so,
just trying to
but
pick
I thought that was...
if she's 100 years old, I'm thinking, how old can I make Todd here by calling her out and saying it's his daughter, you know?
I just thought that was really cool that, you know, that they did that for her, so.
You're right.
And that's the kind of stuff that goes unmentioned. And it's aggravating because, you know, we've spoke on the show before about how crooked the NBA is right now. I mean, and they don't really even try to dust it over. They legitimately just seem to roll with it. But Goodell, he's such a he's such a corporate guy. And, you know, you can tell, and I know, you know, you can't blame the officials, yak, 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 but you cannot tell me, I mean, it was only 2 or 3 years ago where that one lineman put Tom Brady on his ass and the ref come over there and told him, hey, take it easy on Tom. If you ever watched hockey when Wayne Gretzky was playing, and I might have mentioned this on the show before, but, you know, bear with me. Wayne Gretzky was amazing to watch play hockey. He was a big assist guy, wasn't real big on the goals, but huge on the assist. This guy was always in the right place at the right time, right? But if you were to shake hands with him, the referees would blow a whistle and give you a five-minute game misconduct. Okay, if you bumped into Gretzky, you were getting whistled. All right. In the meantime, you had guys like Brett Hull, Mario Lemieux, Steve Yzerman, Jeremy Roenick that were out there getting the living shit beat out of them every night. And nobody would blow a whistle. I mean, guys getting their nose cracked, teeth knocked out, the whole damn nine yards. They never get anything called. But Gretzky, if you bumped into him, you got whistled. Why did they do that? Glad you asked. Is because people bought tickets to see Gretzky play. All right? So what you can't have is Gretzky getting the hell beat out of him because the people who bought tickets want to see him do what? Score. Right? So you protect that player via your officiating standard, asses in the seats. All right? I'll throw another example out there. Michael Jordan. Got a lot of respect for the guy. Don't get me wrong. Fantastic ball player. If not the greatest, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. But everybody, you know, the Air Jordan thing, all right? If you watch basketball prior to the Michael Jordan era, okay, it was all shooting from the perimeter. You know, it was all the Larry Bird three-pointers, the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar skyhooks, and even Dr. J, his dunks were dunks. They weren't slams, they were dunks, okay? So the sport of basketball was mundane. And then here comes Michael Jordan. Jumps from the top of the key, slams the damn ball in the damn hoop, right? But prior to Jordan's arrival, if you took that many steps, you were whistled. But Jordan, when he did it, he got the air, he got the slam, he got the oohs, he got the ahs out of the crowd. People bought tickets to see him do that. So what happened was, over time, the officiating let them get away with a lot of stuff. Why? Because, again, he was putting asses in the seats. All right? I don't care how good you want to say Larry Bird was or Magic Johnson or Pete Maravich or Wilt Chamberlain. They never put asses in the seat like Michael Jordan did. So you got to know that the guys up top had to be telling the stripes, hey, don't whistle them. So you fast forward this into modern day basketball and you watch LeBron James play. Some of the stuff that he does and doesn't get whistled for is absolutely just unmentionable. I mean, you watch these games and you just stand there and you're like, and the refs are standing right there in front of them. And you're going, you're not going to whistle this guy. But in the meantime, you've got other players out there like Draymond Green. All he's got to do is say, hey, how you doing? And they whistle him, you know, for doing something. Again, they put asses in seats. So going back to the Goodell thing, all right, if I was to go out and get Roger Goodell drunk and get him on the show, I would ask him, what would be the worst case scenario for NFL football? And he would probably take a pull off his drink, let off of the hearty, robust belch and go, ah, man, the worst thing I can think of would be to have the Jags, the Vikings, the Houston Texans, the New York Jets, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Cleveland Browns, worst thing, the Carolina Panthers, just having them in the playoffs. Who in the hell likes those guys? Nobody cares about those guys. And that is the thing. So through the officiating, again, like Cowboys game, if you watch, and I don't give a shit how much of a Cowboys fan you might be, historically, if you watch those games, it's a different type of officiating. Totally different type of officiating. And the stuff they get away with, they do, versus the smaller market teams like your Clevelands, like your Jacksonvilles, like your Carolinas, like your Houstons. They get whistled for everything because in the end, and going back to what Velvet was alluding to a couple weeks ago about the COVID testing, it's awful conspicuous that the three teams that they tested that week were teams that were hot and on the bubble. Had Minnesota been at full strength, they'd have won that game and bumped another higher market team out of the playoff scene. And Goodell doesn't want that because who in the hell wants Minnesota in the Super Bowl? So that's where I get bent out of shape because, like baseball, you know, there was this whole cheating thing with Houston 2 or 3 years ago, and then, of course, we had the Barry Bonds thing and the steroids, yak, yak, yak. But the cheating was done on the field. Now, I'm not condoning cheating. I'm not saying it's right. But what I'm saying is the cheating was done during the games. It wasn't a corp thing, if you understand my meaning. And for me, the NFL just be more and more disingenuous every day. And it's so plain to see. And I just wish that Goodell would just go on and they would get somebody in there that would run the NFL as a fan instead of a businessman, you know. So, and speaking of the horrible businessman, the owner of my beloved Washington Redskins today announced the new team name and jersey and logo. Did you guys see it?
Yeah, I did.
Right, well, my God. Didn't see that. I got an ESPN notification while I was working, and all I did was basically read it, and then I busted out laughing. But I didn't, you know, I was at work, and I was trying to get some stuff done, so I forgot to go back and look. But, yeah, that's your story right now, so I'll let you run with it. But, yes, I saw.
No, I mean, they take the iconic logo, and, I mean, that in all pro sports, it's probably one of the best logos out there. You know, I mean, the logo is beautiful. Keep the logo, rename the team. Now what they've got is this W for the logo. All right. Now, I want each one of y'all to say the Washington Commanders three times fast. That's right. You can't do it. It's too clunky, too many syllables, too much going on. You can't say it. Now, when they put the Washington Nationals in the, you know, in the baseball, the short for that is the Nats. So the Commanders, we got to call them the Comms.
Commies.
Might as well, because that's all that's in Washington right now as there is, you know. So it might just fit. But for me, that busted-looking W pales in comparison to that majestic Native American profile that is on my beloved Redskins helmets. And, you know, as I've said a million times, if they really wanted to do it correct, they should have done like what the Braves did. They go to the leaders of the Native American cultures, sit them down and say, does it offend you when the people in Atlanta chop? And they said, no, we love it. Okay, good. Does it offend Native American people when they do the, oh? They said, no, we love it. Good. Does the name Braves offend you at all? No, we love it. Good. Everything stays. And what Daniel Snyder should have done, and I blame Goodell for part of this too, because Goodell's feeding right into it. Instead of trying to make it better, he tries to feed into it, the whole woke thing. But why not go to the Native American leaders and say, you give us a name. You know, what do you guys think? And but no, we're stuck with Commanders. It's like, say, my God. So,
you
know,
the whole thing reminds me of, and I don't have this story right, so please no one try to do your essay off what I'm about to say, because it's not going to be completely factually accurate. I just can't recall the conversation, but my brother is an alumni of the University of Illinois. That part is factual. I know that one. So, but if any of you follow college football, specifically Big Ten, I mean, you wouldn't have to just follow Big Ten. If you follow college football, you know what I'm talking about. But the University of Illinois used to have, the mascot was Chief Illiniwek. And they had the big, they basically had a face of Chief Illiniwek on the center of the football field. And I mean, it was basically their, you know, it was on all this, you could buy sweatshirts, you could buy t-shirts, you know, whatever. That logo was everywhere, Chief Illiniwek. And apparently, with the conversation I had with my brother, a bunch of liberal butt wipes who had nothing else better to do but to act like they were butthurt for no good reason, apparently they were actually at the school, or they were alumni of the school, or possibly, I don't know, can't remember if it was the student body or if they were already alumni, I don't know. But they decided to be butthurt for an imaginary group of people, because the Illini, I can't even remember if that's the actual name or if that's kind of a chopped up part of whatever name, they don't exist anymore. It was, and this is the part that I can't remember how accurate it is. It seemed like it was either a group, like a group that consisted of different tribes, or if it was just a tribe that I don't think they dissolved, but for whatever reason, there's no living person of that exact tribe. And so they went to other different tribes, and their feedback was requested, and they answered, and they didn't care. I don't care if you have it, you know, the Illini, we don't care. But because, and again, this is part that I can't remember if this was part of the story or not, but it seemed like because they could not speak on behalf of the Illini, that was irrelevant. And so the bottom line is this group of liberal nut jobs, they got their way, and Chief Illini Wick is no longer there. Instead, they replaced it with a big eye on the middle of the field. You can't find – I have one sweatshirt with Chief Illini Wick on it, and I very rarely wear it because I don't want to wash it because I'm never going to be able to replace it. And in fact, I have worn it, and people have been in the grocery store, and they'll look at it, and they'll say, hang on to that because you can't get any more. And I say, I know. But, Chief Illini Wick is another example. They still are, I believe, they're still the Illini, but they did away with the Chiefs. And that was one of the coolest things. If you went to a football game, my brother was also in the marching band back when he went. So we would go to the football games. But they would have Chief Illini Wick go across the field on a horse. That was cool. And, you know, they do that while they're playing the fight song. And obviously, you know, they don't do any of that anymore. So,
in the 70s and 80s, the Atlanta Braves had Chief Nakahoma. And I know that's a play on baseball term and everything. But nevertheless, this gentleman, there was a teepee up there in left center field. And before the game, Chief Nakahoma would come down out of that teepee and run. I mean, this sucker was faster than hell. And he'd run, total Native American garb, would haul ass to the damn pitcher's mound, and he would do a fire dance, a Native American fire dance right there on the pitcher's mound. And, I mean, the whole stadium would go batshit when he did this. And you couldn't start a Braves game without Nakahoma coming out and doing his fire dance. And somewhere down the line, somebody said, well, you know, that's a horrible depiction of Native American culture. Well, how the hell do you figure the guy's Native American in the first place? Shouldn't we ask him? You know? And the rise, now I could say, if he was out there doing it and everybody in the crowd was laughing at him and pointing at him and calling him an asshole, okay, different story. But the entire place was on their feet for this guy when he was doing a Native American culture dance before the baseball game. The entire stadium was up on their feet cheering for this guy. So how can that be condoned as racial? You know what I mean? They're cheering for the guy. They're not booing him. They're not laughing at him. They're not throwing beer cups at him. They are on their feet cheering for this man. And they moved him out a couple years back, too. It's crazy.
Yeah. You know what kills me? I just kind of happen to have this thought come down to me. Is it's like, it's mostly, I mean, obviously it's a liberal thought, you know. They have nothing else better to do. They want to bitch about something, and I don't know if it's a guilt feeling or what, but they feel like they just have to be heard. They have to have a voice. They have to be heard. They have to be the one to right the wrongs of our country's history, because we do have some pretty screwed up history. But it's funny because all they do is attack these made up whatever that are supposed to be so offensive to everyone. And it's like, if you really want to, like, do some good, like, if you want to have a cause that actually means something, like, here's something that just occurred to me, and everybody knows it. It's not a secret. But just as an example, sometime in, it's going to slip my memory. I think maybe in the 90s. I'm not real sure. It's been in my lifetime, you know, more recently than farther away. But we had a state hospital that was close to downtown off of Washington Street. And, you know, way back in the day, they would lock up anybody in a state hospital. If literally, like if you had Tourette's, you were locked up. They didn't know what the hell it was. They didn't know what to do with you. So you were put into a state mental hospital. But anyway, whatever happened, that state hospital shut down. And I think it was the 90s. I'm not real sure. But when they shut that hospital down, and I know this only because my mom, who was a nurse, she never worked there, but she did do a couple of, I think it was with her schooling or something, she would do some rotations wherever else, and so she knew of the place. She knew it shut down, and further, when it shut down, they didn't relocate anybody. They just opened up the doors. So what I'm getting at here is, a lot of those people, and I don't know if it was everyone, just certain some of them. I'm not going to act like I know the story because I wasn't there, and I don't want to be somebody to bend, you know, what actually happened. I don't know. But I know that whatever the case is, there were some people that were in that state hospital that needed some help. And when that hospital shut down, they opened up the door and just let them out, literally. And those people, this is an opinion of mine, it's my thought, it's an assumption, is they ended up migrating downtown to where the people were so they could panhandle, beg for whatever, because they didn't have any kind of sense to do anything on their own. And I mean, you can tell, and I'm not really trying to be funny here, but downtown, you can tell there's some nut jobs running around. There's people that'll scream to the top of their lungs, and there's no one around them. You know, but these liberals, if you want to fight for a cause, why don't you go reach out and see what you can do for them? And don't, you know, be one of the ones who thinks you're doing good by giving $10 to a panhandler. You're not doing them any good. They're out for drugs. They're out for alcohol. All you're doing is feeding their addiction. That's not helping. The people that need help, mental health issues, that need help, you know, figure out something. You know, if you want to do something so bad, you want to be recognized, why don't you do some real work? Do something that actually takes effort. And I think that's why they don't, because it would actually take work. They can't just sit there behind their computer and come up with a bunch of garbage to feed to, you know, whoever's going to listen about what's offensive to who and some made-up butthurt people. You know, that's what they want to do. Heaven forbid they get out and get their hands dirty and actually figure out a cause that they might want to work on. Because I'm telling you now, that was what my guess is in the 90s. And here we are sitting in 2022. There's still some people downtown that you can tell they're just, for lack of a better phrase for the time, they're nuts. There are some people that have mental health issues, and they're not going to be able to help themselves. And what's going to happen is they're going to die in an alley somewhere. But my God, at least we don't have Chief Illini Wick. At least we don't have the Washington Redskin. At least we don't have Chief Nakahoma, you know? Yeah. I mean, good Lord, because what would we do with them running around?
Well, you hit the nail on the head, because what it is that these people are the last piece of the puzzle, people. The one that will watch you put together painstakingly 999 pieces of the puzzle and will saunter up, grab the last piece and put it in there and go, "We finished the puzzle." No.
Yeah.
I finished the puzzle. And you hit the nail on the head when you're talking about having the work to actually make an impact. Instead of pointing fingers and running your suck and trying to run people out of their livelihoods, go in there and legitimately try to fix it. All right? And when it comes down to these changing names and getting rid of things because they're, air quotes, offensive, the people who are screaming this stuff are people like Whoopi Goldberg, who stood up and said this week that the Holocaust wasn't about race. Now, here's where you got to draw the line in the sand. Now, this morning they made the call. They run her off of the View. She's suspended until further notice from the View.
Which, wow, well, I didn't know that.
No way, because, again, I don't agree with the View, so you know what I do? I don't watch it.
I don't watch it.
Yeah, I just don't watch it. You know, it's easy fix for me. But the difference between Chief Nakahoma or the Redskins is the fact that it's a moniker, okay? It was an attraction at a ball game, okay? This woman said that the Holocaust was not racial, had nothing to do with race. We're not talking about a team logo. We're not talking about, you know, somebody doing a chop at a ball game. We're talking about, what was it, 7 million Jewish people? Men, women, children, elderly, sick, were exterminated, lack of a better term. They weren't killed. They weren't murdered. They were exterminated. Okay? There is nothing that you could put light. There's nothing about that that you could deem anything positive out of. It was a horrible, unspeakable event in human history that shamefully happened 80 years ago, not 880 years ago, but 80 years ago.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And this woman has the wherewithal to stand there and say that it had nothing to do with race. But this is the same woman we're trying to satisfy by changing the name of sports teams. This is the same woman we're trying to satisfy by canceling people out of their work. It, to me, is, and I don't agree with them running her off. You know, yeah, you heard me say it. They don't need to suspend her. Let her get back on there and let her run her mouth some more, because she can't help but screw up. And let her keep talking. And the more she talks, the more people are going to look at her, and the more people are going to go, well, somebody shut this bitch up. And how do I know? Look at Rosie O'Donnell. She run her suck so much to the point where people just got to saying, hey, whatever she's saying, I don't care. Even if it is right, I don't care. Because she made it all about her and how she felt, with reckless abandon to how anybody else felt. Whatever Rosie felt is the way shit should go. Whoopi's doing the same thing. And you know what? Let her keep talking, because she just digs the hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's why I don't believe in this cancel culture stuff. I mean, it's, I remember when they were protesting about Eminem, okay, when he was first coming out, the women would be protesting in front of his record label. Ah, he's a misogynist, blah, 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 okay. So what did he do? He did a whole other album talking shit about women. Why? Because they were just putting him up to it. So like I said, the minute they clear out, the minute they quit carrying on about it, he'll run out of energy to be antagonistic. And bigger than anything, eventually these quote-unquote offended people just threw their cardboard signs in the dumpsters and went back to work. And the next thing you know, Eminem grew up. He became an adult, and he quit acting like an ass bag. I mean, not totally, but still, my point being is that all the antagonistic qualities that the young man had, he stopped doing. Why? Because he didn't have any fuel for it anymore. So, you know, these folks that get on there and they get their feathers ruffled about stuff that they have absolutely no dog in the fight, quit trying to satisfy them. let them just keep right on running their mouth until all of society looks at them and goes, you know what? Who cares? We all have that relative, whether it be a cousin or a brother or a sister or whatever, who no matter how hard everybody tries to rally around them, they screw up everything they touch. Every family has one, right? After a while, nobody in that family does anything for that individual. Not because they don't love them. It's because they've exhausted the patience of every person in that family. And eventually they find themselves alone, and at which time they have to do one of two things. Shape up or shit the hell out. You know what I mean? And, you know, we've all had our time.
That's the situation I'm dealing with, guys, is because, you know, here in Arkansas where we live, I mean, it's me, David, and Anthony. And God forbid if something happens to David and I, who's going to step up and help Anthony? There's not going to be anybody.
Correct.
And he wouldn't.
Yep.
And if he tried to manage everything himself, you know, we've had three meetings so far. We're having another meeting this Friday, but we really haven't gotten anything accomplished other than the fact that the doctor that tested Anthony back in July of last year, he wrote a more detailed letter why he feels that Anthony meets the criteria for autism spectrum disorder. Anthony's been tested numerous times within the past 23 years. He just turned 35, the 23rd of January. Autism spectrum disorder was the first officially diagnosed in 2013. That's when they took autism and Asperger's and kind of combined them together to come up with the criteria of autism spectrum disorder. I mean, he even stated in his letter that Anthony does not communicate or act or, you know, live like a normal 34-year-old male would live, you know, and to try to get people to understand that, you know, and in the back of Anthony's mind, he feels that nobody wants to help him because people are scared of him because of the bipolar disorder. I mean, like the doctor said, if it was emotional and behavioral issues, we probably would have seen some sort of improvement because Anthony was diagnosed with bipolar disorder at 11 years old. Well, we haven't. That's why he feels like it is a developmental disability rather than emotional and behavioral issues like the Department of Human Services is saying.
Right.
You know,
well,
and I mean,
with Anthony's case is that that young man genuinely needs the help. People out there that can't get their garbage together and claim to be in the same situation that Anthony is in, it discredits the importance that he is helped. You understand what I'm meaning?
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of the same thing we went through with Rob's eyes when, you know, when we first got the IEP thing for Rob's eyesight with the school. I actually came home with all the paperwork thinking, wow, this is neat. This is neat. You know, Rob's actually going to get some, you know, specific help for being vision impaired. Wow, you know, so this is so cool that this is in there, that they do this kind of stuff. Well, then I start talking, and I start meeting parents, and every goddamn buddy's got an IEP. And there's one kid, you know, he's climbing the walls and all this kind of stuff, and I'm like, so what's your kid got an IEP thing for? Oh, well, he's got an IEP for lethargia. He just climbed up a 10-foot wall barehanded. How is he sleepy? So what happened is everybody in the damn school had an IEP. So what it did is it devalued the IEP that Rob had, just because he was one in a million instead of being one of one. You understand what I mean? It's the same thing happening with Anthony. Anthony genuinely needs help, but the system is so clogged with people that are full of it that the young man can't get the help that he desperately needs. And it's wrong, and it's sad. And going off
very
of what Tim was just saying, you
hey,
know,
well,
that's
hey,
what happens.
I'll tell you what, Granny, I've got the fix, and I can tell you right now, I have the fix for the problem. I am going to write a letter and advocate for the Chiefs to get renamed to the Generals so that, you know, we don't offend them. That'll solve all of our problems, right? No, but you're right. That is, and I feel for Anthony, and I know that, you know, has been a burden that you guys most certainly shouldn't have
well,
to deal
it's,
with.
Well, it's sad because even the doctor stated in his letter that's why he feels like Anthony's diagnosis was just totally missed. I mean, he got pushed through the cracks, and he just, you know, they didn't recognize, you know, the problem. I
yeah,
mean,
they
didn't recognize the problem. And so, I mean, it's very sad. I mean, it's very sad. I mean, because he says, and just at the end of this letter, he says, I believe that he did not receive this diagnosis earlier in his life because it was not recognized.
Yeah, that's things. Because, again, he genuinely needs the help, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? And the good news about America is the fact that we've got a society that is equipped to help folks. I mean, other societies, folks that are blind and deaf and, you know, have certain, you know, behavioral disorders and that kind of stuff, they pretty much just get cast aside. You know what I mean? And they're just kind of left.
Oh, yeah.
Away.
Oh, yeah. And see, the problem that we're running into right now is places that, too, they won't take his insurance or he's too young to go live there.
Really?
He's not 55 years or older.
Oh, so since he's not a senior, they won't let him.
Exactly.
Wow.
But they're looking into what they're calling they're calling it, because see, originally we were going to look into getting him a full-time caregiver where somebody could live with him. They could transfer his HUD from a one-bedroom to a two-bedroom and only count his income, and that person could help him at his apartment. And that way he could stay there at his apartment, keep his little dog, and just that way. But then the problem that we started running into is what happens when David and I are gone. Is that person going to continue to step up to truly help Anthony? Or are they just going to push him aside and just let him fend for himself?
Yeah.
And that's why we're thinking it would be better to get him in a facility now while we're still here, as to compared to us being gone and him having to fend for himself.
And, you know, as a parent, you know, you're absolutely right when it comes down to the pressure. Because I know with when we paid the house off, and we paid the house off on Tuesday, we got the paperwork that we officially owned the house on a Friday. And Dale had the envelope, and she kind of held it up. She says, hey, here's the paperwork for the house. And I remember holding on to the paperwork for a second. I set it on the counter and I gave her a hug. I says, now I know that I could die in my sleep tonight and Rob will have somewhere to live for the rest of his life. Because Rob can't drive. So He can't go get a job at Target. He can't go be a Tim. He can't go be a Granny. He can't go be a Dave. And when I say he can't, not saying that he doesn't have the ability to, yes, the guy works circles around most of the people I know. It's a hardworking young man, but he can't drive. Well, I'm sure he can operate a car, but I don't want to be on the road with his ass. I'll tell you that much. But nevertheless, he won't have that same opportunity that we have being able to see versus him not being able to see. And by owning this house now, now I know for a fact that he won't be homeless. All he's got to do is manage his money and pay the $800-$900 a year property tax. And, you know, he could eat tree bark. He could wear secondhand clothes. That's no sweat. But you got to have a house. You got to have somewhere to live. And the pressure you have as a parent, because, you know, Granny, you said it. Every day, I don't care if you're 12, 112, the next day is not a promise. You don't know if you're going to get struck by lightning. You know, I joke all the time. I have the kind of luck to get attacked by a great white shark on dry land. I'm the type of guy who has the luck to die in a skydiving accident on the ground because some guy's parachute didn't deploy and he landed on my ass. So with all that being said, knowing that I have certain things in line for Rob makes me feel much better. And, you know, when, you know, the fight you have with Anthony right now is, like you said, while I'm here staring at you, you're going to do the job correctly. When I'm in the ground, how dedicated are you going to be? And you almost go into survival mode, because I know I've done that with Rob, where I've pulled him off to the side, and I'm just showing him, you know, every day. If I'm doing something specific, the girl next door, her car overheated yesterday, and I had to go out there and work on that. I got Rob. I said, hey, look, I know you don't drive, but I want you to come out here and watch me do this. This is how you put radiator. This is how you put coolant in the radiator. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. Why did I show him that? Not because he's going to be a mechanic. Not because he's going to be driving. I showed him that. It's because it's one more damn thing that he'll know in the event that I croak tomorrow. And totally understand the pressure, Granny. It's tough because you're doing all you can to get Anthony the help that he needs, but the system is so held up with people who are faking the funk. The people who really don't need it. And perhaps they're not getting any assistance. Fine. But they're holding up the system. They're a kink in the hose, if you will. And, yeah, it's frustrating and sad. My heart goes out to you. That's for damn certain. You know, and like Tim said, what you don't want to do is have him eventually become a victim of circumstance where he is, quote unquote, in the wilderness. You know what I mean? Not literally living in the trees, but he's out there trying to survive in a society that's not really going to damn stop and do their part to help him out. And, you know, it's tough. And, you know, that young man right there, he's got to absorb every little bit that he possibly can right now while the people that are, you know, doing their best to support him are around. Because it's an ugly-ass world out there for
it
people
is.
That got everything going for them. You know what I mean? You know, there
Hell
are
yeah.
people out there that
well.
Got college educations and are six figures in debt. It's an ugly-ass world out there, you know?
Just like a couple months ago, he went for a walk one day on the bike trail, which I don't care that he goes for a walk. But thank goodness he was able to call me because he got lost. He wasn't sure where he was. And I said, okay, give me a street name, give me a house number. And as it was, he was only about a mile, a little over a mile from the street that intersects with the street that I live on. And if he walked back the opposite way, he would have eventually gotten up close to my house. But he was heading towards the opposite direction. Like, I live in Springdale. He was heading towards Lowell, Arkansas, which is in Benton County. And he didn't even realize it. Now, what if he had been manic or depressed that day and wasn't able to call me? That's my biggest fear is I don't care that he goes for a walk. And I told him, I said, I don't care that you go for a walk, Anthony, but you need to tell me you're going to go for a walk and just not do it. Because what if I didn't know where you were? What if something had happened that you couldn't have called me? I wouldn't have known where he was.
Yeah, and you'd have had no starting point. You wouldn't even know where to start looking.
Yeah. So, that's kind of what kind of got all of this started was because, you know, he doesn't always that he should or the best that he could do, you know, and like I said, he doesn't communicate like a normal 34-year-old male would. You know, he's like a big kid. I mean, basically, that's what he is. He's a kid in an adult body. His mentality is not of a 34-year-old the majority of the time.
Yeah, that's tough. And, you know, you don't want him out there, you know, because what can – and. The variables are out there between the weather and wandering into a bad neighborhood and all these kind of things. And like you said, if he's not in the right frame of mind, that just exacerbates everything and makes it that much more dangerous for the young man, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, hopefully something will come around for you because I know you've been chasing it for, you know, for long enough. And, it's not something made up. It's not something, you know, where he's got the ability, but he just ain't hitting a lick. The young man genuinely needs the help. And, you know, like I said, things are so tied up and so cliched now that when people genuinely need, you got so many people crying wolf out there is what I'm getting at.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it keeps him from getting because what happens is he walks up and says, hey, I need X, Y, and Z. The people that could help him look at him and go, yeah, so does everybody else. And it's unfortunate. Yeah, because all the damn phonies are out there, you know, screwing the whole thing up. So, yeah, my heart goes out to you guys. And like I said, we keep you always keep you in the thoughts, hoping that things turn around for you, because it is, I know it's not easy. It's heartbreaking as hell as a parent. Easy. But,
that's very much appreciated, because I definitely, you know, I know that your thoughts and prayers, everybody's thoughts and prayers are always there, because I can feel them each and every day, you know, and I just, but there's days where there was one day when they did this last assessment on him back in January that should have been done in November of last year. You know, I was with David and we'd left Anthony's apartment and I just broke down into tears because I couldn't take it anymore. I told David, I said, take it anymore. I've had it. I don't know what else to do. You know,
yeah.
I'm through trying to fight this. I mean, and it gets to that point, Dave, where you're tired of trying to fight the system because everything's against you. No matter what you do, it's just like there's something in the way that's preventing it from going forward. And you finally get to the point where you get tired of fighting the system because you wonder, what good is it going to do?
Yeah, it totally breaks you down, you know. But you can't give up. You got to keep going.
Yep.
And it does. It eats you up. And there's nothing wrong with losing your shit. And that's something a lot of folks, I know I'll put my hand up. I'm one of those guys that, you know, you see me fighting it to stay cool at funerals and everything. But, you know, I was trained. You can't show emotion. You can't cry. You can't be upset. That's bull. Because if you keep it bottled up inside, you're only going to make it worse and hurt yourself in the long run. So, you know, sometimes just going out and, as a matter of fact, it's funny, a couple of years ago when I was managing the club, crew guys always had a habit of going out there on the front deck after their shift was over it, shooting the breeze a little bit, and then getting their trucks and driving home. Well, everything was such a disaster in the club that morning. I mean, I had had like 7 call-outs, and I hadn't even been there an hour yet, and, you know, just all these things going wrong. And I walk, there I am, the man in charge, walk out in my slacks and my, you know, dress shirt, and I take about 3 or 4 steps out front, and in front of that entire night crew, I just went outside and just like, ah! I mean, just roared at the top of my lungs, right? And they're all looking at me, and I stopped. And I grinned and I says, had to get that off my chest. Y'all have a good morning. You know, it was just the fact that I could go out there and holler at the damn top of my damn lungs because I was so pissed. And then I went back in and went on and got back down to business. So, yeah, getting upset is not a flawed behavior. Trust me. It's you have got to vent that stuff. So have no fear about having a moment, you know. You are perfectly entitled to that, as is David and Anthony, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, they got a dog in the fight, too. They need to break down a day, let them, you know.
Yep.
But, guys, we are reaching that point. We're in extra innings. I reckon I'm going to have to euthanize the show, bring on the British lady. So what I want to do is pass it around real quick, let everybody have their parting shots on this fantastic Groundhog's Day. I don't even know what the hell Groundhog did. Not that it ever matters, but
he saw his shadow, so they're saying 6 more weeks of winter.
No. Alright. Did he piss on anybody this time?
I don't know.
I know he pissed on him in the past. That was the highlight of my Groundhog's Day. See that thing pissed all over
his
guys.
I think he's actually bitten some of them too, so you know.
Nice. Well played.
I think I would bite somebody too if they tried to take me out of my nice warm hole early in the morning
exactly
like that.
I'd bite the piss out of them. Damn right. I'd go out and get rabies and bite them just to do it, just to be hateful. Damn right. So, Granny, I'll go ahead and hand it off to you. What kind of parting shots do you have, young lady?
Well, I just hope everybody has a great rest of the week. Stay safe, especially if you're in the path of a snowstorm or freezing rain or freezing temperatures. You know, just be safe. Be careful out there. If you don't have to get out, don't get out. Stay in, because that's what they're telling everybody here in Arkansas. If you don't have to get out and drive, stay home. So
stay home.
Be safe, yeah. And I love everybody, and I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week.
Outstanding, and I appreciate you joining us this evening, Granny. Always good to have you aboard with us.
I enjoyed it.
Outstanding. So, Tim, what kind of parting shots do you have?
Well, I'll just start off by saying, you know, heart goes out to Granny and Anthony. I know that all that you've been dealing with, it takes a strong person. You know, I commend you because it takes a strong soul and a strong person to, you know, have that burden on your shoulders. So heart goes out to you. Thoughts and prayers in the world. So, you know, that's never an easy thing. Other than that, yeah, we've hit on football. We hit on lots of stuff tonight, and I just continue to sit here and just the mean little devil side on my shoulder is just waiting to see an accident so I can laugh a little bit about it. But other than that, I'm going to stay hunkered down here. I don't have any other parting shots. We're already in extra innings, so stay, as Todd says, stay safe out there. Take care of one another. Take care of yourselves. All that good stuff.
And I'm just glad I could be part of the show tonight with you wonderful gentlemen, since it was just the three of us tonight.
There you
Absolutely,
go.
Yeah. Yeah, we're missing the fourth wheel, man. It's kind of we got the three-legged dog thing going on without Todd, but we understand that Todd's got work obligations, and we definitely miss his presence, but we totally understand why. So, yeah. Hoping everything is going well on his end, or at least weighs enough to cope. You know, I know it's a stressful situation right now, and it's probably not going to get any better anytime soon. But if it stays at a copable level, you know, that's what you got to hope for. So, but yeah, you guys are doing a fantastic job, man. I tell you what, couldn't have done it without you guys. You guys doing an excellent job. Looking forward to having you again next week. And Tim, appreciate you joining us very much. Now, for my parting shots, I'm just gonna echo what Tim and Granny had mentioned, is that when you get this weather coming through, you always piss and moan about how you never have any time to sleep, or you never have any time to rest, or you never have any time to do something at the house or to play with your kids. Okay, they say stay inside. Don't put the kids in the back of the station wagon and drive to Walmart. Stay your ass inside. Break out a board game. Break out a coloring book. Go get you some damn it crayons. Or maybe eat all the bread you bought. But whatever you do, stay home, because if you're out there grab-assing, you're creating a bigger risk for folks who have to be out there in it. So please use your head when you're out there. Don't be like the guys in front of Tim's house right now, sliding ass in through an intersection, whatever you do. And lastly, of course, just everybody, keep their eyes open, keep their ears open, and as I always say, self-educate. Make your own opinion. Do not believe the Kardashians and every damn thing they got to say. Make up your own mind. The world will be a better place. So with all that being said, oh, and one more public service announcement. For all males out there, listen up. We are 11 days out of Valentine's Day. That's right, 11. A week and a half you have left to get your ass out and get your candy, get your roses, get your rubbers, get whatever the hell you're going to need for Valentine's Day. Don't be that guy who's shitting biscuits on Valentine's Day Eve to find something for his girl or guy or whatever you're swinging. Valentine's Day again, 11 days out. Get it together, folks. I say no more. I want to hear
well
you
said.
Standing in front of that card rack on damn the 13th, the round down, you know, 2000 a night going, man, they ain't got no damn Valentine cards in here, man. What's up with that? You asked that all year again, and you didn't do it. 11 days. Get shit together, enough said. So with all that, I'm going to turn off that light and hopefully walk up these steps in the dark without killing myself. Cue in that salty, oh, shit, British lady. And bring an end to this wonderful broadcast for the magical 2222 day. So 60 years from now when somebody says, wow, what was it like? What was it like being there on 2222? Well, had bad weather. Whoopi said the Holocaust wasn't about race. Redskins got a new lame moniker. But, yeah, nothing really happened. Thanks for asking, you know. But, anyhow, appreciate everybody's company. Appreciate everybody listening. And we'll talk to you next week here at Pop Culture Stars. Y'all have a wonderful and safe week, all right?
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
All right. British lady. You know, what if Todd's all lying to us and he's actually run off to, with the British lady? You ever think that might be a possibility?
I feel a meme coming on.
There might be a plot at hand. There might be some nefarious things going on, and he's just saying he needs a time off, and it's because he's spending time with the old salty British lady. Better check to see if he has tea and crumpets on his desk next time you see him, Tim. If he's listening to a lot of Def Leppard albums and flying the Union Jack, let me know. We'll know what's up. But anyhow, we'll bring an end to the bad national jokes. And Todd, we miss you, buddy. Hope everybody has a wonderful week. And British lady,